Here comes the sun, I say, it's all right.
Jamie and Locker with you here on a Monday on the Green Zone. Of course, the Riders have a day off. They get back at it tomorrow. Short week of prep for the Edmonton Elks coming in on Friday night to Mosaic Stadium for some Friday night football. The Elks with just one win. Dave Campbell's going to join us from 880 Ched, their analyst, on the talk about Trey or Cody and what's going on at the quarterback position of the Edmonton Elks. That'll happen just past 4:05. We're also going to take you to Pittsburgh as training camps open in the NFL. One of the biggest storylines, can Aaron Rodgers get it done with the Pittsburgh Steelers? Mike DeFabo of The Athletic in Pittsburgh will be here to talk more about that. But each and every week here on the Green Zone after a Rider game, we give you our top grades and our failing grades from the Riders as we focus in on the 33-27. The Riders win as predicted by yours truly here on the Green Zone. Don't go back to any shows last week. Believe me. No. Nailed it.
No one. No. It's you gotta nailed it.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
You are full of it.
That's called gaslighting, ladies and gentlemen. That's the definition of gaslighting.
You picked the Lions to win the game on Saturday.
I picked the Riders to win. I was always confident in the Rough Riders. I don't know what you're talking about. I've never once questioned this team at all. Ever.
I had my first question for Belton at 5.
Well, Belton picked the Riders because he picked up a lot of points on bold predictions. I will tell you that from Saturday.
Let's get to the grades, Jamie.
Okay.
Stop lying to our audience and get to the grades. What's your first failing grade?
My failing grade goes to TSN for this moment right here.
And everybody who's capable of attending to him is getting a look at. We'll give you one look at this. It's a little bit of a wider angle.
It just appeared that its leg was caught awkwardly on impact there.
Pretty gruesome on some slower angles that we're not going to show you.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, we really, that wide angle really hid how gruesome that injury was to Kadeem Carey.
There should be a
rule that if a guy's leg bends and is hanging loose, that they don't show the replay of it on television.
No, I kind of want the replay.
No!
And I'll tell you why. Because you may have missed it. You want to see it, and you want to see why they're out there for so long. It gives it context. But I think there should be, for some of the like more squeamish in the crowd,
yeah,
for a lack of a better term, maybe a bit of a warning. Like, this is not pleasant to look at from Dusty's side of the fence, right, ladies and gentlemen.
We are going to
avert your eyes. We're going to show this.
But here's the thing. The broadcaster doesn't want you to turn the TV off, so they're not going to tell you that, because then it's like, oh, click. And
in
then
a case like this,
you flip it over to something else, and then you're stuck on Friends for the rest of the afternoon. I don't know.
Because I actually was watching the game, and I missed. I saw him get hit, and I was like, oh, he got hit hard. Then I saw his reaction, and then I was like, what happened to that knee? So I appreciated the replay.
No! No! You didn't need to see that again. Our intern Arden will know this because he was watching the game with us. I saw it right away. His leg's not bent right. Like, it was hanging off to the side. Like, it was not right. Like, that's not, I don't need. And then there was like, oh, show it again. No, don't show it again.
It was a tough watch. I will agree with you there.
I'm glad Dusty made it clear, though, that they did watch slower replays of other angles just to see how gruesome that was. I'm glad that was thrown in there, too. Also, can I fail Dusty real quick another time? The broadcaster's jinx. Did you notice the broadcaster's jinx?
Oh, I missed this one. What did he do?
Trevor Harris is on fire tonight. Throws deep, intercepted by the BC Lions.
I think I did catch that. Okay.
Love a good broadcaster's hacks on that one. Okay, Locker, what do you got for a failing grade?
My failing grade goes to the Riders' inability to put teams away and bury them. I want to say this. I'm appreciative of the win. Fantastic record.
Mm-hmm.
I have to start with my failing grade, so we're starting with some negativity, but it is also a Monday, and the text line is a little twitchy today, so I thought I'd preface this comment with that. It's obviously Monday. Some of you are in a bad mood. Week one at home to the Red Blacks, 26-31, too close. Week two in Hamilton, 28-23, too close. Week three in Toronto, 39-32, too close, especially against that team. Week four at home to the Lions, 37-18. There we go. That's the kind of win I'd like to see more of from this Riders squad, because I think they have it in them. Week five, bye. Week six, that was the loss to the Stamps. We're going to move on. Week seven, 33-27. I heard you on the post-game show, Jamie and I, say 14 times that that score flattered the Lions. It did, because it shouldn't have been 33-27. They should have put that thing away at the end of the fourth. In the fourth, this Friday night, the Riders need to bury the Elks. That's my failing grade, and an inability to put teams away and bury them.
Okay, let's get to our top grades. Locker, from the Riders' 33-27 win over the BC Lions. And, of course, you can give your top grades and failing grades, too, at 1-877-332-8255. My top grade, it's a shout-out. And I'll let Corey Mace tell you who my top grade goes to.
Shout-out to Darius Washington as well, jumping in there for his first game against Batson Tehama. I thought he did a great job, man.
Darius Washington, on day one of practice, was not the left tackle. Daniel Johnson was there. Then Daniel Johnson was out for day two and three for practice. Darius Washington, who's been here for a month, gets called to action against, as he said, Batson Tehama, two of the two best defensive ends in the league. He wasn't perfect. I know Harris got hit once on the blind side off of Washington, but it wasn't a sack. But for the most part, I thought Darius Washington is run blocking, pass protection for his debut, and that short a notice gets my top grade for the Rough Riders and that offensive line.
That hit on Harris, that was the late hit, right?
No. That wasn't the late hit. That was, he came around, got him in the kind of in the back.
Okay.
It was a legal hit.
There was a late hit on Harris.
There was a late hit.
High hands.
Yeah, that was, someone called in and said that looked like intent to injure, but it was Tehama who got him.
Okay.
And I thought, yeah, it's probably fair debate on that one, because that was late hit. And Tehama saw the ball was out for sure.
Yeah.
And still took two more steps to whack Trevor Harris. Didn't like it.
All right. Moving on to my top grade, Jamie. It goes to Trevor Harris and the defense.
Harris, deep shot, down the field, drops it in, five, end zone, touchdown Riders! Rolling out to his right, finds his running back, Aguilera, touchdown Riders! Harris, pump fake, now a shot down the sideline, touchdown Riders! Drops it in there for Myers!
For not being so predictable, even to my untrained eye, it was fairly obvious to me that the defense was switching things up. They were throwing some wrinkles into the mix. Harris looked amazing. The long ball more than a couple of times. And they ran the ball. They ran the ball. And it opened things up for Harris. I think that's the main reason why we had the long ball opportunities for Harris, was because they were a little bit concerned that AJ was going to find another hole and take a run for it. So there you go. My top grade, again, to the unpredictability of the defense. And to Trevor Harris, that's a game worthy, in my opinion, of some sort of, you know, weekly.
Well, I'll tell you what. You do go through the checklist. Deep balls, check. Run the ball, check.
Yeah.
Blitzes, check.
Yeah, they were blitzing.
Brett Lawther made all those kicks. Check. Like, there's a lot of things that we've heard over the last week since the loss going, they need to do this, they need to do that. And
that was a good win.
They did a lot of those things.
It was a good win, even though...
Alrighty.
They let him back into it.
Let's get to the fan line. You have your grades right now. We start with Ken in Saskatoon. A failing grade, top grade, Ken. What do you got?
Well, I'll do both. Failing grade to start with is Marcus Sales. Yes, he got an interception, but if you look at that play, he left his guy, and he didn't know the ball was in the air at that time. He gambled, and that man just gambles way too often. It's boom and bust, which is why BC cut him. And I've got an incredible grade. You know how when you go and you put on an old jacket and there's maybe a $20 or $50 bill in there, and you go, wow, it's found money? That's Robustelli. I am amazed at this guy. And he's made the same catch over on the sideline practically every week. It's, you know, you can just write it on in. And he's just found money. It's just like, wow, where'd this guy come from? I know he was on the roster last year, but I am so impressed with him.
Yeah, that's a good nickname, Ken.
Found money?
Found money.
Joe Robustelli, new nickname.
Found money.
Let's go to Scott in Saskatoon. Scott, what do you got for a top grade or a failing grade?
All right, guys, I've got two top grades and two failing grades.
What do you got for good news first? What's your top grade?
Good news first? Okay. Top grade is the old return of incredible O-line play, despite the plug-and-play that they've still been doing week in, week out. And the return of the game. Unfortunately, we're down to running back, but hopefully TBH will be back soon, or I'm not sure, you know, maybe sign Andrew Harris for a game or two.
Hey, running back coach, you're in. Let's go.
Failing grade is anyone that kicks a football, and also safety play. Good safeties can either cover, hit, or make plays, and the guy playing safety for us can't do any of them.
Did you say kicks a football?
Anyone that kicks a football.
Like after a scoring play?
Anyone that kicks a football at any point during the game.
Scott's not a big kicker.
He and Belton are in the same wagon on that one, on kickers. Terry, top grade, failing grade, what do you got?
Hey, guys, well, I was just going to say passing grade or great grade, whatever, would be the whole team. Like, they were banging on all cylinders. And then failing grade, I'm going to say, I don't know if it'd be Mace or Mueller, but let Harris pass one more down pass to get us 400 yards. Like, well, I'm serious. Like, is there performance bonuses, stuff like that? Because if you look.
What did he miss it by? Five?
7 yards or five yards?
It was five,
yards,
like, 395, yeah. Now, I think Corey Mace did challenge that one play at the end of the drive just to see if he could get the extra yardage on what was deemed an incomplete pass. But
yeah. But when you watch the game, when they pulled him, you could see he was pleading with the coach.
Yeah.
And then he turned away and you could tell he was pissed.
I wonder if there's if I had a 400-yard bonus, I don't know if they get that into the weeds though on performance bonuses to get how many.
They might be
but
with
they
Harris,
might.
Though, right?
They might with him. But, yeah, 5 yards short of 400 for Trevor Harris. See, here's the risk, though. You throw him in there, and then does he need to take one more hit just to get five more yards? That's where I'm like, I don't know about that. 1-877-332-8255 is the fan line here on the Green Zone. You can also send us a text for your top grades and failing grades here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you. Can we keep the grades to the game, please? Can we just keep it to the failing grade goes to Jamie for giving up hope on the Riders after one loss. I didn't give up hope. I just said they would lose another game to BC. That's all I said. I mean, no, I didn't. I totally predicted a Rider victory.
Oh, I got a failing grade, too, from Larry.
Joe from Regina, top grade goes to Locker for doing a bang-up job, keeping Nye in line. That's a top grade.
No, but I got a failing grade from Larry.
Failing grade to Locker for not recognizing it's only game six and not analyzing that no team has had a clean slate walk to the lead. How dare you, Locker.
Sorry, Larry.
1-877-332-8255.
I'm okay with grades outside of the game, though.
If we do grade the host, I think that might hurt my self-esteem. Although, if I'm Scotty Scheffler, what does it really matter anyways? I'm just
Why are we all here?
Going home.
Does it even really matter?
Time now for the Green Zone 1 minute drill. The latest in sports. The Blue Jays back at it against the Yankees in Toronto. Of course, they swept the Yankees 3 weeks ago. They have a 3-game lead atop the AL East. And the coaching staff being finalized for the men's Olympic hockey team for Canada, as John Cooper is going to bring Rick Tocchet, Bruce Cassidy, and Pete DeBoer to the Olympics as his assistant coaches. Coming up next, can Aaron get it done in Pittsburgh? The Athletics' Mike DeFabo has the Steelers covered, and he'll join us next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie Locker with you on this Monday afternoon on the Green Zone. Of course, we'll have Belton Johnson breaking down. The Rough Riders win over the BC Lions as they get set for the Edmonton Elks for Week 8 action in the Canadian Football League on Friday night at Mosaic Stadium. But many teams in the National Football League, if not today, tomorrow, they'll all break camp and get going on training camp ahead of the 2025 season as we continue our previews. And let's take you to Pittsburgh. Mike DeFabo of The Athletic has the Pittsburgh Steelers covered. Mike, thanks for your time.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on the show, guys.
It's been, of course, an interesting offseason for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And the biggest story is Aaron Rodgers. And can he do it? On The Athletic, you wrote a great feature on quarterbacks over the age of 40 and breaking things down on can he do it. His completion percentage is on the decline. So what do you think of the over 40 Aaron Rodgers bringing the Pittsburgh Steelers to greatness in 2025?
Yeah, you mentioned that story. You know, throughout my research, I think one of the most interesting stats that I came upon was in the Super Bowl era, there have been quarterbacks over 40 have combined for 12 playoff wins. Tom Brady has 10 of them. Every other quarterback combined has 2. And so here you have the Pittsburgh Steelers, which are a franchise that, a historic franchise that has high standards. They haven't won a playoff game in 8 years. And really that's the whole reason why you bring in a 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers, is to try to snap that skid. But judging from history, you know, Aaron Rodgers, the odds are stacked against him. And you look at what he did last year, as you mentioned, you know, his passer rating, 90.5, was a career low. You look at he was very poor against the blitz, which was possibly an indication that his mobility is declining. He's not that magician that he once was in terms of extending plays and creating outside of structure. And so what it's going to take a great supporting cast from the Steelers, a significant contribution from their defense, which is highly compensated. And then Rodgers really himself is going to need to have a bounce back year. And so I think that that's a lot of variables and a lot of things are going to have to go right for the Steelers. Maybe I'll be proven wrong, but you know, at this point, I consider myself a bit of a skeptic.
So, Mike, you got your finger on the pulse of Pittsburgh, and you know how the city is talking and reacting to this. It must have been like a bomb dropped. But is there a certain amount of prepping for the Aaron Rodgers potential chaos going on in the city? Like, are you like boarding up windows?
No, that's true. You know, Aaron Rodgers, I'm trying to think of the right way to phrase this. He's a very opinionated guy who isn't afraid to share those opinions. And, you know, there is a bit of a circus that comes with him. You know, for example, like the first day that he talked during mandatory minicamp, there were about 15 additional reporters who aren't there on a regular basis who came. And I work for The Athletic, and I just today got a message from 2 separate national reporters telling me that they're coming to Latrobe for training camp to try to sit down with Aaron Rodgers and to work on stories. So, you know, whether Aaron Rodgers likes it or not, there is going to be a tremendous amount of scrutiny. And one interesting thing about Pittsburgh is, like I mentioned, with this 8-year playoff drought, this is a fan base and a city that starved for success. And the Pitt football coach, Pat Narduzzi, he jokes and calls it Boo City, because people have voiced their displeasure in such a overt way that they basically booed the previous offensive coordinator, Matt Canada, out of town. Our buddy in the hockey side, Ron Hextall, there were chants of fire Hextall at the Penguins Arena, PPG Paints Arena, when he was still running the team. So this is a city that's pretty hard on its athletes, and I don't think he did himself any favors the way that he left this franchise and his fan base in limbo for nearly 3 months before making a decision. I think that caused a lot of people to turn on him that would have otherwise been on the fence. And so I think he does have to win back a portion of the fan base and part of the city.
Were you surprised Mike Tomlin did it? Knowing Mike, you know, and knowing how he functions, that it's like, I can change him. He's not going to cause a circus.
That's exactly what it is.
Right. You know, in some senses, I think that this is very much a Mike Tomlin move, because, he's a player's coach, for better or worse. And I don't know how many other coaches would have been willing to tolerate the uncertainty through the offseason and also deal with the spectacle that comes with Aaron Rodgers. You know, you look at it, Kevin O'Connell from the Vikings knows Aaron Rodgers personally, said, no, thank you. We'll go with J.J. McCarthy, who's an unknown rookie. You look years back, Matt LaFleur, offensive-minded head coach, knows a lot about offensive football. He said, no, thank you. We'll roll with Love instead. You know, Aaron Glenn on the Jets, the new head coach, I give him a tremendous amount of respect because he's in New York City, one of the worst media markets that has a tremendous amount of scrutiny on them. Rather than dealing with this indecision, he said, no, thank you. We'll go with a different direction. We'll go with Justin Fields. So I'm not the only one saying that I have my doubts about him. You have a lot of offensive-minded head coaches and, you know, high-level football people who already believe that Aaron Rodgers is in a decline and not worth it anymore. But, you know, Mike Tomlin is kind of that, like I said, player's coach. He was willing to be patient, and, you know, now he's got another veteran quarterback. For the fourth time in 6 years, the Steelers will have really a past-his-prime quarterback that they think a defense that's highest-paid in the NFL can prop up. And, you know, we'll have to see what happens.
Mike DeFabo and Steelers beat writer joining us today on the Green Zone. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Jamie brought up an interesting point about the TJ Watt deal. And not that we need to keep down the Aaron Rodgers thing, but do you think that TJ Watt deal, like in a roundabout way, because of the money that Aaron Rodgers took, which is not, comparatively speaking, a lot of money, it sort of helped grease the skids for the TJ Watt deal?
Well, you know, to Aaron Rodgers' credit, he didn't take the most. I also think that that's probably what the market dictated. You know, he's making, I think, $13 million guaranteed, and then there's some incentives within his contract. And so, really, you look at what is going on in the NFL, and this is a league where you frankly just have to overpay for a quarterback, whether that's paying huge money to an unknown quarterback like Sam Darnold. You know, he's making $40+ million per year, or you have to take this ridiculous gamble where you sacrifice multiple first round picks to move up and get a quarterback. So while I am, you know, as you guys can clearly tell, skeptical of how Aaron Rodgers will play, the one area that it makes sense is in a league where so many people are dedicating so many resources to quarterback, you're getting him for a low price of just $13 million this season. So as a result, you can build out your roster. You can extend TJ Watt. They did go out and they spent and got Jalen Ramsey. They added Jonnu Smith because they were able to spend elsewhere. So really the hope is that, you know, this is such a quarterback league. The Steelers are kind of zigging while everyone's zagging, and you're hoping that you can win based on the strength of the players around the quarterback, not just singularly because of the quarterback play.
We love doing these preview series right now as training camps start, to just kind of remind everybody of what went on over the offseason, because it can get pretty hectic, and Aaron Rodgers stole a lot of the spotlight out of the Pittsburgh Steelers. But as you mentioned, Jalen Ramsey gets added. Jonnu Smith, DK Metcalf is there. George Pickens, no longer. What do you think overall of a Pittsburgh Steelers team who also went out and drafted a big defensive tackle out of Oregon, and then, of course, the running back they drafted as well in the third round in the NFL draft in Caleb Johnson to try to reignite a run attack for the Steelers?
Well, you know, Omar Khan, the general manager, this is just his third year as the GM, and he's taken a very aggressive approach for what has historically been a very patient and conservative franchise. So I'll give them some credit in that regard. You know, going out and getting DK Metcalf is not a Steelers type of move. Guaranteeing him money, giving TJ Watt these guarantees, those are not typical Steelers moves. So you could tell that there's a sense of desperation for them, that they want to snap this skid. Whether they're able to, I don't know. You know, I think that they are a team that has a high floor because they commit so much to defense. This will be the fourth consecutive year that they lead the NFL in defensive spending against the cap. And so your hope is, you know, that defense gives you a certain floor that, you know, you've seen other times where the Steelers had Duck Hodges or Kenny Pickett or, you know, Mason Rudolph at quarterback, and they were still able to produce a winning record. And so I think that they'll get there. I think that they're a 9, 10, 11 win team. But when it comes to finally breaking through and winning a playoff game, you know, I just don't know that they have the firepower offensively to stand toe-to-toe in a division that features Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson in a conference that also features Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. So that is very much a star quarterback conference in the AFC, and I just don't know that the Steelers are going to get that quality of quarterback play out of a 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers.
Mike, we were stalking you on Twitter, and one of your recent tweets was, my favorite part about uniform reveals is that you have every middle-aged sports writer who dresses like a pile of dirty clothes on a dorm room floor giving their opinion on fashion. You kind of won us over with that tweet. Thoughts on the throwback jerseys? This is going back to 1933 for the Steelers?
Yeah, and also, let me just be clear. I'm not acting like I'm some kind of fashionable guy. I am 35, so maybe not quite middle-aged. But, you know, I've been accused of wearing dad shoes from time to time as well. So I will put myself in that category. But, you know, so the Steelers, the jerseys are from 1933. It was like their first jersey. And you could tell it almost looks like an old-school rugby-style uniform. Or like a university sweater almost or something like that. So I like the fact that they're paying tribute to history. I think that the jerseys probably kind of like the Bumblebee jerseys from years ago.
Not as bad as those ones.
Not as bad.
Nowhere close to that.
It's true. I think that they're slightly better than that, but maybe they'll grow on people. But, you know, I had my doubts, or I don't know. I'm not. I don't think it's a slam dunk what they did with those uniforms.
The pants are a weird color. Have you had a look?
Yeah, they're
like a weird yellow.
Somebody was saying that there was a concern there could be like the Winnie Pooh effect with those, where it's going to look like guys are wearing a shirt, no bottom.
Doesn't that look?
Real quick, we don't have a lot of time. Is Sidney Crosby going to finish his career in Pittsburgh? You covered the Penguins for a little bit. What's the gut narrative going on in Pittsburgh around the future of Sid the Kid?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked me that because I did cover the Penguins for 3 years and love hockey, love visiting Canada when I covered the Pens. But, you know, I think that's more of, you know, maybe Canadian hopes than reality that Sid were to move on somewhere. And I love Canada. I'm not bashing Canada at all. I love it there.
No, you nailed it.
You know, I think that Sid is committed to Pittsburgh. I think he is the kind of guy that wants to finish his career in the place that he started it. You know, I've heard, you know, a lot of our reporters who cover the Penguins at the Athletic, a lot of sources within the organization and nationally have said that that's all the things that they're hearing. So, you know, until I hear something differently, I really truly believe that Sid wants to finish his career here in Pittsburgh.
Mike, what it really is we just want Sid. It's not a Canadian thing. We don't want him in Canada. We just want to get him away from Kyle.
Kyle Dubas. Yeah, just. I have a free Sidney Crosby campaign. That is my campaign to free Sidney Crosby because I'm not a big believer that Kyle Dubas is going to turn things around with the Penguins.
Can we ask one more quick question? Do you get to go to Ireland?
I am going to Ireland, and I'm pretty excited about it because on a personal level, my little sister lives in England, and so I'm going to visit her for a week after that during the bye. So it should be good. We'll see if I can split a couple G's at the Guinness factory. And
nice.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun though. I just can't wait for the trip. I think it'll be just such a different environment, and you know, introduce a different kind of fan base to the great game of football.
Well, Mike, we enjoyed the chat. Thanks for it this afternoon. We'll be following along with your coverage during the Steelers, what could be a very interesting season in 2025.
Yeah, it's going to be a crazy year. That's the only thing I'm certain about. But thank you guys so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Take care, man. As we continue here on the Green Zone, that was Mike DeFabo, The Athletic, who has the Steelers covered. And this is the Green Zone on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Time now for the Green Zone 1 Minute Drill, the latest in sports. The Blue Jays back at it tonight. They have the New York Yankees at the Rogers Center. They completed a sweep against the Yankees a couple of weeks ago, and the Jays do have a 3-game lead atop the AL East. That'll be our game of the night, by the way. Quick hint, game of the night. Yankees and the Blue Jays. Spoiler alert.
I'll mark that down.
Also, here on the 1 Minute Drill, the coaching staff has been finalized for Team Canada for the Olympics as John Cooper finalized his staff today. And the names are familiar. Rick Tocchet, Bruce Cassidy, Pete DeBoer will return as assistant coaches. They were with them with the Four Nations faceoff. Coming up next here on the Green Zone, who's starting at quarterback for the Elks? Will we see Cody Fajardo or Trey Ford? Color analyst of the Elks, Dave Campbell, is next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.